Good day, and welcome to today's third quarter 2021 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I also must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, and I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Armand Arutyunyan. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Headhunter Group third quarter 2021 earnings call. Joining me today to discuss our results are Mikhail Zhukov, our Chief Executive Officer, Dmitry Sergeyenkov, our Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Gregory Moiseev, our Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, we would like you to remind that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements. Actual results may differ materially from the results predicted or implied by such statements, and forward-looking statements made today speak only to our expectations as of today. We undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise these statements. For a discussion of some of the risk factors that could cause actual results to differ, please see the risk factors section in our most recent annual report on Form 20-F filed with the SEC. During this call, we'll be referring to some non-IFRS financial measures. These non-IFRS financial measures are not prepared in accordance with IFRS. A reconciliation of the non-IFRS financial measures to the most directly comparable IFRS measures is provided in the earnings release we issued today and the slide presentation, each of which is available on our website at investor.hh.ru. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Mikhail.
Thank you, Aaron. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. This was an exceptionally solid quarter for our product and business development. Dmitry and Grigory will walk this through in detail later on, but we have yet again managed to double our revenue base compared to 2020 and hit all major business KPIs. As our user base strikes new historical records, it's essential to stay laser focused on product innovation and adaptation of our platform to distinct customer segments. One of our key product priorities continues to be a seamless and enjoyable experience for non-recruitment professionals from SMEs. This customer category has been the key driver of our business growth, and following candidate migration to mobile devices, we are now observing similar trends in that area. That is why we decided to come up with a fully reworked employer mobile application built on predictive interfaces. It's too early to draw any strong conclusions, but at the moment we see that the key conversions to user target actions in the new app have improved by 10 to 20%, thereby delivering high recruitment efficiency and business results for our clients. On the job seeker side, we launched wide experiments with employee review functionality integrated with our strategic partner DreamJob, and that showed very encouraging engagement from both candidates and employers. Even though it's in experimental phase, yet circa 15% of our vacancies already have corporate reviews, and we plan to scale the functionality across the entire customer base in the next few quarters. On the investment side, we have finally nailed the deal with Udo, and now we're institutionally ready to move along our joint strategy in a self-employed market where we continue to see major growth opportunities for us. Now, I'll turn it to Dima to walk you through the key highlights of the third quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Misha. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on this call. This quarter, our revenue was 4.7 billion rubles, and we managed to sustain, as Misha said, a triple-digit revenue growth despite a much higher comparison base than in the second quarter. Market conditions remain very strong. We have significantly expanded our business across the key strategic areas, including acquisition of small and medium businesses and monetization of key accounts. Despite a significant increase in marketing spend, our other cost items are significantly behind the top-line expansion, leading to elevated profitability. In Q3, our adjusted EBITDA margin came at 60.4%. This year, we follow conservative CapEx policy, resulting in strong cash generation for shareholders. Our CapEx in Q3 as a percentage of revenue came at just circa 1%. In terms of performance by operating segments, in small and medium accounts, revenue increased by 106% year-on-year, driven by both increase in number of paying customers and RPC growth. Acquisition of new clients explains circa 56 percentage points of revenue growth in small and medium segment. Our total customer base reached 450,000 clients, and this quarter already exceeding full year 2020. In key account segment, average consumption growth and monetization initiatives were the key drivers of our strong performance. Notably, average check in this segment increased by 71% year-on-year, and that is largely explained by a new monetization model for subscriptions gaining pace across the customer base. Geographically, revenue from Moscow and St. Petersburg increased by 98% year-on-year, while revenue from other regions of Russia went up by 110%, which is totally in line with our expansive strategy in Russian regions. Product dynamics this quarter is somewhat similar to what we've seen in the second quarter. Job postings remain the fastest growing area on the back of increased consumption in small and medium and key accounts. In this competitive environment, clients utilize advertising tools more intensively, leading to ever-growing consumption per client. As a result, the total number of vacancies on the platform reached historical record of 1.1 million, of which over 1 million are paid vacancies. CV database access and bundle subscriptions demonstrated 94% and 89% growth year-on-year, respectively. As you can see, the growth in subscriptions is kind of converging with listing product thanks to monetization enhancement of the former. Apart from our core products, we are very satisfied with the solid dynamics of our value-added services, including recruitment automation, branding products, our performance-based solutions, ClickMe, and Virtual Recruiter. Skill has demonstrated yet another strong quarter of customer base expansion, with revenue came close to 300 million rubles, representing 200% growth year-on-year, and reaching EBITDA break-even level first time in company history. This group of value-added services generated over $500 million revenues in Q3, yielding growth of 136%. So this just underscores market openness for innovative HR tech solutions in today's challenging environment. Now returning to our full year 2021 outlook. This year, as you understand, is particularly difficult to make precise projections. From the one hand, our business performance is exceptionally strong and market backdrop is very robust. But from the other hand, the pandemic stats in Russia is far from being stable yet. Taking those factors into consideration, we've decided to upgrade our full year 2021 outlook to 81-84% revenue growth range, indicating over 15 billion revenues for Headhunter Group in total. Now here's Gregory to talk about our profitability and cash flow metrics.
Yeah, thanks, Dima, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me give you some detail first on our expenses and margins. As Dima said, in the third quarter of 2021, the adjusted EBITDA margin exceeded a milestone of 60%. Consolidation of Zarplata and Skillz diluted margin by circa 4 percentage points. So therefore, our organic segment's margin was even higher in the ballpark of 64%. Which is a significant improvement compared to 56.6% in the same segments in the third quarter of 2020, which was explained mostly by the increase in our revenue. At the same time, with autumn being the busy season in recruiting, the third quarter is usually the highest quarter of any year in terms of revenue, and consequently has the lowest expenses as percentage of revenue and the highest margin. Therefore, margin in Q3 is somewhat elevated, and we expect it to trend down in Q4. Historically, over the last 2 years, margin in the fourth quarter was 4 to 10 percentage points lower compared to a third quarter. Our total operating expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, were circa 2 billion rubles in the third quarter of 2021, which was the increase of 69.5% compared to the third quarter of 2020. Adjusted for equity settled awards, SPO, and M&A related costs, operating expenses were around 1.9 billion, which was an 85% increase compared to the third quarter of 2020. And let me briefly discuss the growth drivers in the key expense buckets. First of all, personnel expenses adjusted for equity settled awards and SPO-related costs increased by 61% year-on-year. About one-third of this growth is explained by consolidation of Zarplata and Skillas. The other factors were the increase in our headcount by circa 15% or 126 people over the last 12 months, an increase in our sales team bonuses on the back of exceeding revenue targets, and wages inflation. As a percentage of revenue, personnel expenses, excluding equity settled awards and SPO-related costs, have decreased to 19.3% in the Q3 of 2021 from 24.3% in the third quarter of 2020, improving margin by 5 percentage points. We think that in the fourth quarter, we will sustain this operating leverage and personnel expenses will be the key contributor to our margin expansion in the full year 2021. Speaking of personnel expenses, our equity settled awards increased to 136 million rubles in the third quarter of 2021 compared to 56 million for the third quarter last year, or by circa 80 million. This was mostly due to a new 2021 RSU plan we established in July, under which we granted approximately 250,000 units, or circa 8% of the total program capacity, to approximately 100 of our employees. Moving on to marketing expenses, they increased significantly by 140% year-on-year, outpacing revenue growth. The increase in marketing was mostly due to our decision to increase spending on both performance and brand awareness marketing in 2021 on the back of the increased demand for candidates. In addition, approximately one-third of this growth was due to Zarplata consolidation. As a percentage of revenue, marketing increased to 12% in the third quarter of 2021 compared to 10% in the third quarter of 2020. Going forward, for the full year 2021, we think that the operating leverage potential in this bucket will be offset by our decision to increase spending. Other general and administrative expenses adjusted for SPO and M&A related costs increased by 90% compared to the third quarter last year. The key drivers of this growth were the addition of Zarplata and Skillas, which contributed almost half of the growth in the bucket, as well as an increase in subcontractor costs in our Russia segment due to the increase in revenue from other value-added services and the increase in professional services. As a percentage of revenue, other general and administrative expenses adjusted for SPO and M&A related costs were 8.4%, relatively flat compared to 9% in the third quarter of 2020. In the full year 2021 results, we expect this expense bucket to remain relatively flat as percentage of revenue compared to last year. Now moving on to other key indicators, our CapEx in the third quarter of 2021 has decreased to 49 million compared to 70 million in the third quarter last year as we completed our Moscow office renovation project last year. On the back of the increase in revenue, as Dim already said, CapEx decreased to circa 1% of revenue in the third quarter this year compared to around 3% in the third quarter of 2020. The net working capital as of the end of Q3 was negative 5.1 billion rubles compared to negative 3.8 billion as of the end of 2020, and the change was primarily due to customer advances we received. Income tax expense in the third quarter of 2021 was 548 million compared to 264 million in the third quarter of 2020. The increase was driven by the increase in revenues and consecutive increase in the taxable profit. The effective tax rate in the Q3 was 23.7% compared to the 31.1% in the third quarter last year. This decrease was mainly attributable to a non-deductible SPO-related expense last year, not occurring in this third quarter. Now turning to cash generation metrics in the third quarter of 2021, we generated significant 2.5 billion rubles from operating activities compared to 902 million in the third quarter last year, primarily driven by the increase in sales. We generated 16 million rubles from investing activities compared to 50 million used in the third quarter last year, mainly on the back of the increase in interest income on cash deposits. In financing activities, we used 2.4 billion rubles in the third quarter 2021, mostly to pay an earlier announced dividend for the year 2020, compared to 2.1 billion we used in the third quarter last year, which was also mostly attributable to a dividend payout. Our net debt decreased from 5 billion as of the 2020 year end to 2.3 billion as of the end of Q3 2021, primarily due to the increase in cash. On the back of this increase in net debt and the increase in adjusted EBITDA, our leverage is now 0.3 times adjusted EBITDA compared to 1.2 times adjusted EBITDA as of the 2020 year end. Finally, starting from October 2021, we are making daily repurchases of our ADRs through our broker in a form on an autonomous buyback program. The program stipulates that during 9 months until June 2022, our broker should purchase ADRs for approximately $27 million in more or less equal daily installments. Accordingly, as of November 8, 2021, the most recent date of the broker's report obtainable while we prepared this release, we have repurchased 52,000 ADRs for circa $3 million. This concludes our presentation of the results of the third quarter of 2021, and we are now opening the floor to your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, for those who want to ask a question, just press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, star and one if you wish to ask a question. Thank you. We have questions that came through. The first question comes from the line of Yashislav Dikyarev from Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the call. Couple of questions. So firstly, how do you directionally think over 2022 budgeting? Obviously, I know it's probably too early, but what are the key moving factors to keep in mind over the growth and margins for the next year? Obviously, the base is quite high, but what are the key drivers that will be having a lasting effect in the medium term? And maybe how would you split them for the next year between volumes and pricing? And my second question would be with regards to the mobile product for employers. Can you elaborate what are the user cases there? How popular is that? How differentiated is that versus the competition? And maybe broadly, new other product initiatives that are in the pipeline. Thank you.
Yes, Laura, this is good. Sorry, Dimo, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I can quickly answer the kind of first part of the first question on the budgeting and how we think about next year. Obviously, you're not going to be unduly surprised that at this point of time it's quite hard to give kind of precise or official guidance for next year. There are definitely certain moving parts, mostly with regard to the kind of customer base growth next year. That would be a function of overall macro and labor market situation development. I think we're having pretty, at this point of time, if you like look into the 2022, we have quite an optimistic view on the healthy kind of mix between monetization and the customer base expansion. On monetization, it's more kind of visible already and predictable because there are certain initiatives that we already kind of kicked in this year, and we can more or less precisely calculate the impact for next year. Obviously, one of the major initiatives would be the kind of the continuous rollout of our new subscription model. As we said, this year, this product has been performing exceptionally well and actually above our original expectation and the guidance we gave. And I think next year, therefore, we're also kind of upgrading our expectations. We believe that this one single kind of monetization effect could define up to 7% of revenue growth next year. And on top of that, you have the other pricing initiatives. We're going to inflate prices starting from January, not April this year. So it will be some timing difference effect as well. In terms of price increase, we expect at least 10% growth in subscriptions. In bigger packages of job postings, we expect sort of 20% growth plus. And of course, all these components will go on top of those I already mentioned, the subscription model. And we actually made good progress in upgrading our back-end infrastructure and business logic for monetization this year. And next year, we're going to be more intense on the differentiation by professions, roles, regions. That should also give us incremental check growth and also may actually help us to kind of differentiate between small and medium businesses and key accounts. So on monetization, it looks very robust next year. On the customer base, I think it's a bit probably premature to guide at the moment. It looks quite strong, right? But again, this situation is evolving quite quickly, so it will be hard. And I will defer to comment on expenses to Grisha.
Yeah, so from me, we are kind of in the middle of the budget session right now, and as we discuss, we definitely see several areas for growth. The numerous kind of sensitive, sensible initiatives for the 2022, and certainly it doesn't make sense from our point of view to kind of just cut them off just for the sake of the short-term profitability. Therefore, as Dima said, we are not prepared to give any guidance at this point on 2022, actually, in both kind of revenue growth and margins. What I can say is that the budget will definitely contain certain investment component in terms of the expenses. I think also important to kind of understand again that the 2021 was the year of very steep revenue growth, and sometimes in some areas we struggled for resources. So it's probably kind of not the best reference point as well for the future planning. Yep. So I guess that's the comment I can give you on the margin front.
Thank you, Grisha. I think we can move on to the second question from Slava on our new mobile product. I can say that historically we were a little bit dismissive on kind of mobile platform for employers because we saw very limited use cases, and most of our clients actually prefer to use either mobile interface via mobile devices, but not in the app functionality, or they just continue to use desktop. So historically, we didn't invest much in that area. And over the last few years, especially during COVID, that situation has significantly changed in our view. We saw a pickup in demand and usage, and predominantly from obviously small and medium businesses, from non-recruitment professionals. And this is how actually we designed this new app. So that's clearly designed for a very easy, simplified workflow with a kind of call to action approach, when a lot of predictive actions, when you don't need to fill out the details and the machine using some machine learning instruments and backend trying to kind of predict the answers, right, and kind of minimize the questions we ask. So that's clearly targeted at the SME usage. At the same time, we try to kind of factor and incorporate the functionality that is usually very popular among the key accounts as well, like, for example, the working with Archive and the integrations with the ETS and, for example, communication platform that we introduced in our job seeker platform earlier this year. We actually did the same for employer app. Of course, it's becoming kind of core in, functionality. And also, we believe that our new app, especially on Android platform, is going to be much more stable. And the kind of old metrics that we collected over the last 1.5 months since the launch of the Android platform shows us that that actually the case. And we look at the, again, it's early to draw some strong conclusions yet, right? And there are a lot of product work required for this new app. But we already see up to 20% improvement in conversions, especially in registration, in purchases, et cetera. And for small and medium business support, we believe that should be quite helpful for all the key metrics and efficiency of our platform overall for this category.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Ivan Kim from Excellus Capital. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. three questions from my side, please. Firstly, on the fourth quarter, we didn't see any impact on job postings on your platform in November, but if you can just comment on what sort of impact lockdown had or has on your numbers so far. Secondly, on Skillus, what sort of growth outlook you foresee for 22 for Skillus in particular? Ballpark, very wide ranges or directionally would be great. And related question to that is whether you consider further expansion to adjacencies, because as Skillus experience shows, you increase your targeted addressable market massively with one small acquisition. So just wondering, there was Yubu deal, obviously, but if you think about expansion there more aggressively in 22 in adjacencies. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vani. I'll handle these questions. The first, on the November lockdown, of course, we saw deceleration in billing and billings and bookings of that week of non-working days. Luckily, it was just a week. Well, but for the majority of regions, of course, in certain regions extended the term. So we saw a certain underperformance in the shorter term products, especially in short subscriptions, small packages of job postings. So tell you kind of in rough terms, we lost that week circa 25% percentage points of growth, right, compared to the week before the lockdown. That is clearly a better picture that we observed last year when we were on a constant and non-working mode, right, in June and May. And that just shows that the business has been adapted to a large extent, been operating in this environment for more than a year already. And especially in key accounts, we saw very little disruption. And most of our clients and big enterprises just continued operations as normal. But of course, in small, medium businesses, there was an impact. But it was not as severe as we saw it in previous lockdowns. That's on the lockdown, and I think on the fourth quarter, otherwise, it's, yeah, this so far, quarter to date, the performance is quite encouraging. But no one knows actually what to expect in the next 1 month and a half, right? So the risk of restrictive measures is quite high, and it's not binary. It's not that it's either they are or not. It's certain regions that they can, so local decisions, so it's actually having impact on certain regions. Right? So it's quite hard to predict the exact impact in the first quarter. On the Skillus, the fourth quarter traditionally is the strongest quarter. You may expect that this large contracts that they sign they tend to be kind of signed at the kind of last minute when the budgets allocated to the department kind of go low. And historically, I think 2 or 3 years in a row, the fourth quarter was the strongest. Generally, we believe that they should post circa 400 million revenues this year. But there are certain big contracts with very large enterprises that are underway that actually may kind of be a swing factor here, right? So because they actually sleep next quarter. Therefore, it's, I think, Skillas at this point of time of when they acquire new customers quite intensively, they are a bit less kind of predictable than compared to Headhunter. But we expect a strong quarter. And the last one, I think, is quite the right one. It's exactly in line with our thinking that in today's environment, we see a lot of opportunities in adjacent areas, and many of them could be actually tackled in a kind of quicker and more efficient way via some small early-stage acquisitions. We actually were quite active in on the search out for this type of assets like Skillas, DreamJob, Udo, et cetera. So I would guide that on quite high acquisitions within the next 2-3 years pursuing these opportunities.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Luke Holbrook from Morgan Stanley. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you for letting me on the call, and congratulations on a strong set of results. I just had a question on market share dynamics. Given your strong revenue performance this quarter, I just wondered if you could comment a bit on what you were seeing in the regions in particular. How has the Plata changed that dynamic a bit as well, particularly in around Siberia regions? Do you feel that you're gaining share at this point in time? And then I've just got a follow-up after that. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Look, thanks for the question. Well, the regional business is performing stronger than in terms of growth than in the capital cities, right, in Moscow and St. Petersburg. It's 110 percentage growth. And in particular, in the Zarplata region and Urals and Siberia, it's one of the strongest areas where we have probably the biggest market share, even compared to Moscow. We recently made a survey, and that actually kind of resulted in a quite astonishing fact that we deliver over 95% of all applications in Yekaterinburg, for example. Right, so it's like the whole market delivers just 5% if you take out the Assam Zarplata. So it's a very, very strong regions. I would say Zarplata is slightly underperforming Headhunter, and I think we always guide it this way because they are deprived of certain benefits of nationwide, very effective marketing that we are enjoying. Therefore, their revenue is not growing as fast as Headhunter. So we kind of grabbing share from Zarplata, but combined with Zarplata, collectively, we definitely in an ever strong position. So and I think that actually kind of unlocks a lot of monetization potential as well for us.
Okay, thanks. And just in terms of then your marketing spend that you mentioned there, is there a certain regional or product focus or are you targeting more blue collar or white collar? Would you split it like that internally? Any color there would be useful.
Yeah, look, this is Gregory. Really, I don't think I can give you the kind of details by marketing channel or by segment because for kind of competition reason, we prefer not to go into the so much detail, right? But what I probably can tell you is that in the second quarter of this year and in the third as well, we are strengthening marketing on both brand awareness formats such as outdoor campaign, for instance, and performance marketing as well. As we see kind of high demand for candidates and also on the back of kind of low activity of job seekers. So we think it makes all the sense to spend more for audience acquisition to balance with demand, provide better efficiency to customers who are essentially paying extra nowadays to get their recruiting going. So we are frankly increasing across the board. For instance, we had a significant outdoor campaign in Moscow recently, and we saw a sizable increase in top of mind brand awareness by circa 8%, or I'd say 8 percentage points probably, to 66%, according to our last measure. We also see traffic going up at around between 20 and 30% as we increase more in digital channels. So it's across the board and rather successful, I'd say.
Great. Thank you very much. That's very clear.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Dmitry Vlasov from Wood & Company. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity to ask a question. I have two, please. The first one, could you please break down the revenue growth for third quarter of 2021? Basically, what came as a result of Zalplata and Skillz, and what came from the organic growth, and what came from this labor market deficit, so to speak? The other question is on the gig economy. If you could maybe comment on how big do you see the total addressable market opportunity here? Like, what's the opportunity now, and how big could it become once the transition from the gray market to the legal one will occur? Thank you.
Thank you, Dmitry. I'll handle both. On the first one, if we try to decompose this, the growth in the third quarter, 103%, or in absolute term is 2.4 billion. Yeah, well, you can actually split up into a low base effect, then inorganic growth and kind of more sustainable organic, right? So in terms of low base effect, it's obviously arbitrary, right? Because it depends on what you set as a base for last year. But we estimate that it's around 15%. Out of 103%, which is equal to 315 million, that is explained by low base. So the percentage is obviously going down compared to Q2 for obvious reason. Then more or less equal impact came derived from inorganic growth, around 15%, also 350 million. That's collective impact from Skillz and Zalplata consolidation this year. And then, so effectively, if you take out these two buckets, 30%, then remaining 70% or 1.7 billion rubles could be also broken into three major guiding growth buckets. I've always, I think, having in consideration. First, monetization, second, client base expansion, and the third, consumption growth. Right? So the first explains circa 40% of that 1.7 billion. That's monetization or client base, of course, price differentiation, and coupled with the effect of a new subscription model. The key contributors already said that the pay per contact products are performing exceptionally well this year. Then 25% of 1.7 billion relates to increased consumption of our services. That's the impact of the market situation and labor force shortage and the general low candidate activity in the market. Discussed last time, so part of it probably diminished over time, so it's kind of semi-sustainable, because we see that, for example, small menu businesses, they consume twice bigger product packages than usually do. And the remaining 35% is the customer base expansion, predominantly small and medium businesses, predominantly regions. So that's driven by online adoption, our marketing investments and B2B channels, our product adoption, platform adoption, et cetera. And that's the most encouraging number, probably, because that's just helping us to grow the base, which we can monetize in the future. So generally, if you compare Q2 the low base effect went down, the monetization effect went up, or the other buckets remained more or less the same. And the second question was on gig economy. I think we touched upon this, happy to repeat that generally we see globally that the independent workforce constitutes up to 30%, or not up to, an average 30% of labor force. It's quite a stable measure if you look at. So in Russia, even including the unofficial gray market, that's only 15%. And of course, the 95% of that 15% are currently in the gray zone, right? And because there are very limited incentives created, and upon the legislation change in 2018, we saw huge intake and the registration of as self registered. Right? So we believe at the moment there are, in accordance with official statistics, around 2 million self-employed, and we expect actually this number to grow, say 10x, up to 20 million in next 3 to 5 years. So that's a huge emerging market, right, for us. It's highly dynamic, and not only the volumes that matter, but also the business model that could be applied matters. Because it's if you compare with our traditional kind of permanent work, it's much easier in this market to cut into transaction, right? Because it's more frequent market. It's quite similar to what we've seen in mass recruitment, and therefore it's much easier to cut into transaction, processing payroll, processing some admin work. So it's very sticky potentially if you're successful in onboarding, especially big enterprises. So that's our strategy together with Udo. We kind of officially declared this strategic partnership in June. Then we tried to kind of test this solution with the clients, and the direction was exceptional. So we decided to invest in Udo as a kind of minority partner at the stage. But of course, it's a strategic type transaction for us. We were having and securing all the necessary paths to control in the future, to kind of consolidate this business should it actually take off in the end. So, but we are very optimistic, and I think in the end, this temporary market, contingent market, could be bigger in monetary terms than the permanent sourcing market.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you. And no further questions that came through. I will now like to hand the conference back to your speaker, Dmitry Serzhinov. Your line is now open, sir. You may go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, operator. There's just a few remarks. First of all, thanks for your participation. This is the last quarterly call for this year. Time flies by quickly. Needless to say that it's been an outstanding quarter for us, right? In terms of financial results, it's probably the best quarter we had since we went public. It's really nice to see how a strategy execution is unfolding. We showcase how we can really continue to grow client volumes while concurrently rolling out differentiated monetization. So it speaks of the depth of the online recruiting market, right? It speaks of the kind of pricing power rising out of our competitive position. But what's even more encouraging, I think, that kind of stems from the question we just received from Vanya on adjacent markets. In this challenging kind of candidate world, we clearly see that the process of kind of rethinking and upgrading the role of HR function and HR funding within organizations. So coupled with the recruitment interactions migrating online, so this creates the unique window opportunities beyond our traditional market boundaries. This is already evidenced in our results in value-added service performance, including skill-less dynamics, in our experiments with Dream Jobs and Udo. So we just want to stress that for us as the market leader in traditional market, it's really important. We are the best position to kind of catch this opportunity. It's an important strategic task to kind of lead the next wave for HR tech development in Russia. That's our ambition and the goal for years to come. Thanks for your attention. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. That concludes our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.